VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to begin by sharing with you the headline mantras that we're seeing over the past several days and weeks. See if you can figure out what the media is seeking to portray. Here you go. From Bloomberg, Biden calls for unity, tolerance as Trump refuses to concede. From KTAR.com, Biden seeks unity as Trump stokes fading embers of campaign. From Axios.com, Biden pushes unity message in new TV wave. NBC Boston, President-elect Joe Biden pushes for unity in victory speech. From LowellSun.com, America is back. Biden pushes past Trump era with nominees. From InsideHigherEd.com, students hope Biden administration's message of unity will resonate. From NBC News, Biden hopes to avoid divisive Trump investigations, preferring unity. And in publications across the nation at Thanksgiving, Joe Biden appeals for unity in Thanksgiving Eve address. Have you caught the common theme? Repeatedly throughout the campaign, former Vice President Biden said he does not see red states or blue states, but United States, that he is the president, he would be the president for all. It's a remarkable push for unity. So often, we've learned on this program, though, that it's not just the word at face value that we need to listen to, but we have to look at the dictionary definition that's being used to define the word. So the question is, what does former Vice President mean by unity? Our guest today says his picks, his cabinet choices, shows exactly what he means by unity. Joining us today, we welcome back Robert Knight. Bob is a former Los Angeles Times news editor and writer. He was a media fellow at the Hoover Institute at Stanford. He's a regular weekly columnist for the Washington Times, townhall.com, onenewsnow.com, and others. Held senior positions at the American Civil Rights Union, the Family Research Council, Culture and Family Institute at Concerned Women for America, Heritage Foundation, Coral Ridge Ministries, and the Media Research Center. Co-authored a number of books, including The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government? Think about that one. And Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. Bob, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Oh, thank you, Jim, for having me on. I always enjoy being on your program.
So before we talk about the Biden definition of unity, you interviewed with us a couple times leading up to the election. You talked about socialism. You talked about voter fraud. Through your eyes, Bob, how do you see the aftermath of this this election here, an election in which there's still court challenges that are going on, matters going on in several key states, but the warnings that you gave on voter fraud, was that hype or very legitimate concern?
I think it's proved to be a genuine concern, given that millions of ballots were mailed out. We don't quite know what happened to all of them. There have been numerous reports and affidavits filed by people who have said that open fraud occurred in many states, especially the battleground states, which supposedly gave the election to Joe Biden. There's so much evidence lying around in plain sight that something like 70 million Americans are thinking, my goodness, this election was stolen.
Yeah.
Trump not only won, but won handily, and yet we're being told, never mind, be unified, go home, you don't see anything here. And the media are doubling down on this. Every story about it says, you know, President Trump's false claim that there was vote fraud, baseless claim. I keep saying these words, baseless and without evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of these people who've been all over the internet, been to numerous sites, looked at evidence from experts of all kinds, piling it up, and I'm saying, what do you mean no evidence? I mean, the media are openly censoring what a lot of us can see clearly, which is that there was enough evidence that these courts that turned down Trump's cases should at least have opened it up to discovery and allowed both sides to make their case and bring forth the evidence.
Right.
But they wouldn't even do that. They dismiss case after case on procedural grounds or timing or any number of or standing.
Right, lack standing.
Like the Supreme Court did to reject Texas's lawsuit that that was backed by many other states and 100 Republican congressmen saying, look, if you allow states to unconstitutionally change their election laws, not through their legislators, which is what the Constitution requires, but through courts, through election boards, whatever, you're violating the Constitution. You're taking away everyone's right to have a legal vote that counts. And when you do that, you affect us all, because this swings a national election. I thought they had a good case.
Bob, is it time we abandon all electronic voting, go strictly paper?
Boy, that's, you know, a lot of people are saying that mm-hmm. it's the only way to really, truly keep track, because if you, you know the old phrase, garbage in, garbage out, if you go back to some of these voting machines and then say, well, okay, this voting machine said there were 2,200 votes for Joe Biden and 400 for Donald Trump, and then you look, and then they do a printout from what the machine had, then it doesn't prove anything. You don't know if the votes that went in were valid to begin with.
Yeah.
So what they want to do in Georgia and other places is have a signature comparison. And in Pennsylvania, it was most egregious, where the courts allowed the counting of votes many days after the election. They didn't compare signatures. And a lot of us are worried that what they've done since the election day, is destroy any evidence
yes.
that might point to massive vote fraud, mm-hmm. such as the envelopes in which mailed ballots arrived, where you have to have the return address on the outside and so forth. If those envelopes are missing, then those ballots could have come from anywhere.
You wrote the book, The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, and we certainly see the trajectory we're on right now. Nothing's beyond impossible at this point, but Bob, we do know that there is a vote coming up in Georgia here in early January, and with all that's been uncovered, even in Georgia, as far as the irregularity of votes and sending everybody home and then all of a sudden taking votes out to, you know, from suitcases or whatever and running them through, how can there be confidence in the upcoming Georgia vote when all of this other stuff is still outstanding?
Well, even if there isn't confidence, people have to turn out in droves.
Yes.
The only way the Republicans can win is if they vote in enough numbers to overcome even the most fraudulent tactics. I happen to think President Trump did that nationally, mm-hmm. and that's why they had to stop counting in so many states in the middle of the night, and then the vote spiked for Joe Biden mysteriously afterward. And in some cases, impossibly, you know, when you suddenly add 400,000 votes in a small time period in which the equipment couldn't handle such a total, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And to have the courts not even look at this is really gotten a lot of us very upset. But I would tell the people of Georgia, even if you suspect that everything isn't in the up and up, turn out and vote.
Yes.
It's crucial that the Republicans are reelected to at least give one body of government to be in the way of this Marxist juggernaut that's been unleashed on us. You know, I'm not so worried about Joe Biden. I'm worried about Kamala Harris. She's the president in waiting. As the Wall Street Journal put it, she has that hungry look about her. And Joe Biden is in decline. We don't think he'll finish his term, much less maybe the mm-hmm. first year. And she has got a Marxist background a mile long. She introduced a bill that would have overturned the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. That shows how much she cares about religious liberty. She's been behind every radical thing you can think of, and she was rated the most left-wing senator in all of the Senate, to the left of Bernie Sanders, the open socialist. She's, you know, if this holds, if there isn't some miracle in which President Trump prevails, we're going to have basically a Marxist president. And if you look at their wish list, Jim, not to scare people too much, right at the top is the Equality Act.
Yes. Yes.
And I have mentioned that over and over in my book, the books you mentioned about how dangerous this is. It basically criminalizes Christianity, and it empowers the LGBTQ movement to persecute anyone who doesn't go along with whatever they want, right up to having to celebrate whatever they want.
Well, this so-called Equality Act, I mean, it says virtually right in the act itself that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does not apply to this.
Yeah.
And I'm not making that up. That's in there. And then also when we consider, Bob, the targeting of Christian colleges, that unless you, you know, affirm LGBT and this diversity, you know, we're going to pull your accreditation, and on this impact upon there's no religious carve out. There's no carve out for any single church here across America.
No, and even when you do have carve outs, it usually leaves business people left to fend for themselves.
Right.
You know, say, oh, you're not, if you're officially a church, you may be exempt. They do that sometimes in these types of bills. This one, they're not even bothering. But even if they did, you know, you're a businessman, you're going to be told you must do whatever your gay employee group tells you to do, up to and including Pride Month, Pride Day, celebrating. But this is so much more dangerous even than that, because we've seen in some courts where parents who won't affirm a child's gender dysphoria, say you have a little boy who's 5 years old and thinks he's a girl, if you don't go along with it, they could take your son away. I mean, that's how extreme this agenda is. And Joe Biden himself said the transgender agenda was at the top of his civil rights agenda, if he's elected. God help us.
Yeah, he said the civil rights issue of our time. And we know what he is planning on day number one. I mean, he's got executive orders already lined up to force this so-called non-discrimination on all federal contractors and putting it all throughout federal government in any way, shape, and form that he can.
Yeah, they're modeling it on California, which years ago passed a law that said anyone doing business with the state of California must provide partner benefits, marital-style partner benefits for gay partners, including all Christian employers who don't believe in doing that. They don't believe in abetting sin, and they believe in the sanctity of marriage. They couldn't do business with their own government. He wants to make that nationwide. Think of that.
Well, and
the government's already so huge.
And isn't this the very state that Kamala Harris comes from, the state of California? I mean, she knows well and good what they did in that state, and would seek to implement that throughout the federal government and perhaps enshrine it in law across the country.
Kamala Harris comes to us as Attorney General of California, and using that office, she went after the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah.
Even after the Supreme Court ruled, they continued harassing the Little Sisters of the Poor because they wouldn't provide abortifacients for their employees. She went after David Dalyden and Sandra Merritt, who came up with those videos that exposed Planned Parenthood executives talking about selling baby body parts. They went after them instead of Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's what she's all about. She's as radical as they come. And the press has kept this from Americans, by and large. They've kept the radical agenda of Kamala Harris from the American people. They kept the Biden corruption from the American people. Only now do you see a story or two about Hunter Biden now being investigated for tax problems.
Folks,
it's
amazing. We've got a break here. Bob Knight with us here today. And folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about this Biden unity plan and that evidence by what he means by unity by those he's picking to serve in a Biden administration. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, over the years, we've read a lot from science about amber. Has DNA ever been recovered from it?
Chris, there are fragments of DNA found in amber, but it's well known that DNA decomposes in such a short period of time that even in thousands of years, you'd not expect to find much DNA left. But now an even more remarkable thing has been found that has thrown evolution into a tizzy. Entombed within the bodies of insects fossilized in amber are ancient bacteria, which scientists have been able to revive. They've actually come back to life. Over 3,500 types of microorganisms have been rejuvenated. Chris, how can this be? This amber is thought to be millions and millions of years old, but how could things still be alive after all that time? Chris, I think it's the evolutionary story and the story of millions of years which is wrong. The Back to Genesis view makes a whole lot more sense.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
Robert Knight is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Biden's pick shows what he means by unity, our topic today. So let's talk about the Biden unity plan here, Bob. He campaigned often on unity. I mean, we've heard from his lips several times about this election. The media has been pushing the unity narrative, as I mentioned at the very outset of the program. We've seen the barrage of stories on that. Is he using the same dictionary definition as the rest of us use?
Well, I think he's using the definition that the Islamic world uses, because Islam means submission to Allah. And when Democrats now call for unity in the wake of the election, what they're saying is submit. Go along with us. You're done. Unity means you come our way. We don't have to go even at one little step your way. And, you know, this is the same group that fought President Trump's election in 2016 and said they'd never submit and tried to undermine his administration hundreds of ways over the past 4 years. And just before this election, Hillary Clinton told Joe Biden, whatever happens, do not concede
right. The
election. And yet when President Trump says, wow, we've got enormous evidence of vote fraud, and only 47,000 votes out of 150 million cast have decided the election. That's the total difference in the six battleground states. It's worth looking at again.
Yeah.
But we're told submit, submit, unity, unity, healing, healing. I don't think that's going to set well with millions of people who smell a rat here.
Should Congress certify this electoral vote January 6th, and should former Vice President Biden be inaugurated January 20th as president? Bob, he's been moving very quickly to unveil his cabinet and other key positions of leadership that would move to that he'd be moving, you know, the Senate to confirm, to work for him. You indicate that this would be a reunion of the Obama administration's radical crew. Fill us in. What do you mean by that?
Well, first, yeah, he shouldn't be sworn in and inaugurated, because I think vote fraud is so massive that we really have seen a stolen election and there should be some recourse. Having said that, I do worry that the Supreme Court, which rejected the Texas case, which I thought had a lot of merit, was probably because of something Victor Davis Hanson warned about. He's the scholar at Hoover Institution at Stanford. And he said, you know, even if a case has merit, even if there is massive vote fraud and the Supreme Court should intervene, they may not, just because of the constant propaganda that it's all over, let's move on, we've got an office of the president-elect, we've got cabinet members being appointed, we've got congratulations from foreign leaders. You know, who would think of overturning this election on something as trivial as massive vote fraud? So I think that's part of what might have happened at the Supreme Court. They were just reluctant to be cast as the handful of people who would overturn the will of the people, as evinced in the office of the president-elect. But getting to your question about appointees, I wrote a recent column in the Washington Times, and I mentioned Susan Rice, who's been appointed to head the Domestic Policy Council, which has, as according to The Guardian, a left-wing publication, broad sway over immigration, health care, and racial inequality. This is the same woman who lied bald-faced about the Benghazi attack in 2012 when she went on the Sunday morning talk shows as UN ambassador and said, oh, it was all over a video that enraged mobs. It was a spontaneous demonstration. It was a flat-out lie. This was a terrorist attack on American citizens at an American consulate, killing our ambassador, Christopher Stevens, and she lied about it. So, you know, Obama the next year promoted her to National Security Advisor from UN Ambassador. And now she's going to head the entire Domestic Policy Council. You know, and that's just the beginning. I'll mention a few more.
Sure.
Alejandro Mayorkas, he's going to head the Department of Homeland Security. He was Obama's Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. He implemented DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which basically suspended enforcement for anyone brought here as children illegally. President Trump halted DACA in September 2017. He said only Congress can change the law. This was an unconstitutional usurpation. But just this past November 20th, a federal judge reinstated it. So now Mr. Mayorkas can move on to doing things like halting wall construction on the border and encouraging more illegal immigration. But there are several others. But
just on that point here, Bob, I mean, the caravans are already forming. I mean, they're already
are
forming to come up. They're anticipating a change in the presidency, and they want to be knocking at the door at our U.S. border once that takes place.
Yeah, and the Democrats can't wait to welcome in millions more people. And, you know, there's something wrong here when you campaign against voter ID laws in all the states, meanwhile welcoming in millions of illegal immigrants, and then weakening every election security device you can think of, from having elections on Election Day, stretching it out to a month, same-day registration, automatic registration. I mean, they've weakened election security over the last couple of years, and especially in the few months leading up to the election, actually changing election laws in several states illegally in order to get the result they wanted. Now they want to make it permanent. They want to make America unable to elect another conservative as president in our lifetimes. I hate to scare people, but goodness, they are truly radical. And pray that we can put a halt to this somehow.
Yeah, certainly who controls the Senate at that time, who's going to confirm the nomination picks as well as judicial picks makes a huge difference in this Georgia vote. Bob, there's another office I'd like you to comment on, and that is the pick that has been put in place, announced pick for Health and Human Services.
That's the most radical of all. It's California Attorney General Xavier Becerra, who succeeded Kamala Harris when she was elected to the Senate. He is one of the most pro-abortion public bureaucrats, maybe in history. He had a 24-year record of abortion extremism in Congress. He went after the Little Sisters of the Poor, despite the Supreme Court ruling exempting them from having to provide abortifacients. He went after David Dalyden and Sandra Merritt, who uncovered the baby parts sales pitches from Planned Parenthood. And this is something he got slapped for. He tried to force crisis pregnancy centers in California to refer clients to abortionists and even make them advertise on their website and in their clinics for abortion services. The Supreme Court said, that's going too far. This violates free speech, religious freedom, you name it. This is unconstitutional. So he was slapped down. So what does Joe Biden do? He appoints him to head our largest health agency. Human Services is enormous. It encompasses the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, any number of things.
Just to echo what you're saying here, Bob, I just saw Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute received this email just a short time ago, and he says on Becerra, he said, Becerra is an extremist on abortion and a foe of free speech. He aggressively tried to force California pro-life pregnancy centers into advertising for abortion. You were just mentioning that. And Congress even voted in favor of partial birth abortion, which is literally taking the life of an unborn baby during birth. This is a radical's radical.
Yeah, and it's part of Joe Biden's unity crusade, appointing people like this right off the bat.
Yeah.
How about Representative Marcia Fudge? She's going to head the Housing and Urban Development, where we have Dr. Ben Carson, who is an exemplary figure, running it now. This woman's got race on the brain. She read a letter on the House floor saying, quote, "It's glaringly apparent that many who support the president's administration are racist, steeped in religious beliefs, ignorant, or, as my mother used to say, just plain dumb." Steeped in religious beliefs? I mean, that's an epithet to her? So, this doesn't sound like unity and healing to me.
No. Just announced here, too, as you know, is Mayor Pete Buttigieg as Transportation Secretary.
Yeah. Pete Buttigieg. What's his sole claim to fame? He was mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which became a hellhole under his administration. They're having trouble with the police. They're having racial problems. The city was in disarray in many areas. So now he's going to head the Department of Transportation.
You know, it
boggles the mind.
Yeah, it does. And yet we had, absent him, we had groups like the Extremist Human Rights Campaign that were on the you know, these picks here for the Biden administration, if that does come to pass, saying, hey, you need to have representation, LGBT representation on the cabinet. And I saw their email or their news service here today just hailing, you know, the pick for Pete Buttigieg to fill this position, because certainly they want to advance on every level possible the LGBTQ plus agenda across this nation.
Can you imagine being a Christian and working in the Department of Transportation now? You'd have a target on your back. I mean, you're probably going to be singled out and very publicly invited to support all sorts of initiatives in the workplace that back the whole LGBTQ agenda. And if you don't, it won't go well for you. Here's some more appointees. Neera Tanden. She's president and CEO of the Center for American Progress. That's one of the most far-left think tanks. A big favorite of George Soros, the left-wing financier. They're as radical as they come. She's going to head the Office of Management and Budget. Then you got Jared Bernstein and Heather Boucher at the Council of Economic Advisors. They came from the Progressive Economic Policy Institute. That's a Marxist outfit.
Nice.
So naturally, The Nation magazine is thrilled with this. Finally, John Kerry, special envoy on climate change. He's an environmental extremist himself, even though he owns several jets, flies to his various homes, probably burns more CO2 than all of us put together in any given day. And he's going to head a special new position that is a cabinet level for the first time, special envoy on climate change.
Yeah, it is such where, in essence, folks, he's going to be the climate change czar. And then also working there, Gina McCarthy, the domestic climate policy individual there. And these two teamed up. I mean, they were those who said that, you know, the greatest threat, existential threat facing this nation is global climate change.
Oh, yeah. And they want to empower government to micromanage our lives.
Yeah.
Using that as the excuse. I mean, it's really all about power.
Former Fed Chairman Janet Yellen, nominated for, or wants to be Secretary of the Treasury. I mean, we're seeing that there. And also serving under the Obama administration, Tom Vilsack for Secretary of Agriculture. That's Obama 2.0 again.
Yeah, the whole thing's Obama 2.0 or Clinton 2.0. A lot of these are Clinton people, too. And so, you know, this whole idea that the media sold Joe Biden as a moderate. But, oh, he'll be a breath of fresh air because Trump is, you know, Trump's mouthy, he's outspoken, he's crude, he's rude. But there's good old nice, clean Joe, a moderate. This moderate is putting, you know, outright Marxists in key positions, key federal agencies. If you don't think he'll be as radical as, say, Bernie Sanders, then just keep watching.
We're going to take a quick break. We've got a few more things we're going to run by our guest today. Also, have a pen handy, a sheet of paper, and we'll be giving you Bob's website address and information on how you can obtain his emails, how you can obtain his books as well. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Robert Knight is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is a former Los Angeles Times news editor, now writes columns for a number of sources, a number of publications, Washington Times, OneNewsNow.com, TownHall.com, but had many senior positions in a number of the pro-family organizations. But, Bob, you're also an author, and you wrote a couple of books, and we mentioned these before the election, but I think it really is good to bear them out again, because what we are seeing transpire here is the very warnings that you wrote about. For instance, the coming communist wave, what happens if the left captures all three branches of government, and also Liberty on the Brink, how the left plans to steal your vote. These publications are available to our listeners. Tell us how.
Oh, it's easy to get them. It's at roberthknight.com. That's an H in the middle. Roberthknight.com. And click on store at the top of the website. These are so if people are intimidated by books, these are short books.
Yeah.
You know, one of them's 63 pages, the other's 99, I think. I wrote them very succinctly. I'm a journalist. I try to get right to the point. I don't think people have time to wade through a lot of prose. So these are right to the point, and they're well documented. And I think they'll help people understand what's happening and why.
Right, right. Robert H. Knight, and Knight is with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, roberthknight.com. And you go to the website, click on store. You're also putting forth columns, and I understand our listeners can obtain those as well?
Yeah, and you know, I've gotten more people signing up for my column from Crosstalk than any other program.
Hmm.
And you must have quite a reach, Jim, because they come from all over.
Yeah.
And they've heard me on your program, and they say, how do I sign up for your newsletter? And they just send me an email,
mm-hmm.
to robertknight4@gmail.com. That's four, numeral four. And I just sign them up. It doesn't cost anything. You get my column every Monday morning early, and I won't spam anybody. I just send my column from
yeah.
the Washington Times every week, once a week. And every time I do your program, a couple dozen people sign up at least. So I'm looking forward to that again, I hope.
And friends, let me just say this, because the national media, and we've had people who have contacted us saying everything we're saying through VCY is wrong, through Crosstalk, you know, it's wrong in our talk programs, because that's not what the media is saying, so therefore your guests are wrong, you're not telling the truth, and we're often judged by what the national media is saying. Folks, the national media is not bearing forth the truth on what's going forth. But if you want to stay plugged in, and more we're going to see the media turn left, turn more toward, and I put this in quotes, progressive. It's not progressive by any means, but you're going to see that happen, and you can stay informed. All you need to do is send our guest here today, Robert Knight, an email, and he'll send you his column every week. It'll be in your inbox. It's Robert Knight, the number four, Robert Knight, numeric four, at gmail.com. Send an email and say, just send me your newsletter. Put me on your newsletter list, and he'll be glad to do that. That's Robert Knight, four, at gmail.com. And remember, Knight has a K in it. I'd like us to consider also, Bob, the whole matter here of the Obama impact, as to, I'd like to gain your perspective as to what impact you see him having. And I think his comments with Stephen Colbert here just recently were very interesting about in essence, an Obama third term. And I'd like, he put this into words, and I'd like all of you listeners to hear this, and we'll have our guest comment on it. This is Stephen Colbert as he's talking with former President Barack Obama.
On behalf of a lot of Americans, I think I can say it with confidence that we missed you.
Thank you.
These last 4 years. Did you miss you? Did you ever look at something going on in the news and go, you know what the situation needs? Little Barack Obama.
I've said this before. People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, mm-hmm. looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating. I mean, I write about the even in my worst days, I found puzzling out, you know, these big, complicated, difficult issues, especially if you were working with some great people, to be professionally really satisfying. But I do not miss having to wear a tie every day. And
are there things that you bills. Like? Are there aspects of the job? Because we found out from your successor that there's a whole bunch of stuff you don't actually have to do, and people still consider you president. Do you look at it and go like, I didn't have to do any of that stuff?
I know.
I don't do this stuff. Are there any things that he chucked out and you went, oh, if only I had known I didn't have to do that?
I think there's a lot. I thought...
Respond to subpoenas?
You know, follow the Constitution.
Yeah, and they go on from there. But Bob, okay, so, you know, his idea here, yeah, if I could have that third term by sitting in my basement and talking into a microphone into somebody's ear, kind of interesting.
Well, in light of Joe Biden's mental decline, that's kind of scary to hear. And it doesn't sound like something former President Obama should have said, mm-hmm. frankly. But I'm still impressed at the hardball nature of Stephen Colbert's questions, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that jokingly.
Right.
The press just gave Obama a free ride, and they're still giving him a free ride. And they just have covered up so much information that at this point, I'd say what we have is a functioning communist media. And that's not to say that people in the media are communists. What I mean to say is that they're functioning like a communist media in which only one side is presented, and most of the dirty work is done by omission, where they just won't give you the facts that are crucial mm-hmm. to your understanding of what's going on. Brent Bozell, my old boss at Media Research Center, did a study of, I think it was 1,700 Biden voters, and asked if they were aware of 8 crucial issues. And most of them, anywhere from 25 to 50% of them, had never heard of the Hunter Biden scandal involving China and the contracts with communist companies. Huge percentages weren't aware that black unemployment was as low as it's been in history. I mean, eight things that might have swung things the other way. And then they were asked, if you had known this, would you have still voted for Joe Biden? Well, the Hunter Biden question, over 9% said no. If they'd known about the corruption to that extent, they wouldn't have voted for Joe Biden.
Wow.
Of course, he had a paper-thin win in the crucial battleground states.
Right, right.
And that's where... 4 of these states were the key part of the survey. So, you know, just not the media and social media combined to withhold from the American people crucial information and thereby swing the election the way they wanted. But it goes far deeper than that, Jim. Robert Epstein, a Harvard-trained behavioral psychologist who is a self-proclaimed Democrat who voted for not only Joe Biden but Hillary Clinton, warned that Google... could adjust its algorithms and affect millions of votes. He said it could shift the voting preferences of undecided voters by 20% or more. He said his studies showed that as many as 2.6 million votes were cast for Hillary Clinton because of this manipulation of the information through Google. And that this time around, he said it's at least 6 million votes that Joe Biden got thanks to Google censoring conservative viewpoints and elevating those that favor Joe Biden. This is scary.
Yeah.
It means the high-tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, all combined to keep from the American people the truth and so that they can get the candidate elected that they want.
Yeah, yeah. Friends, it is amazing. By the way, we're opening our phone lines here, 800-733-9829. Your questions, brief comments today, 800-733-9829. Bob, but we have to point out that as leftist and as radical as so many of these picks are for the cabinet, there are those who are criticizing him, progressives criticizing him, that he's not gone far enough to the left.
Oh, yeah. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congressgirl from Brooklyn, said she's upset. She wants Bernie Sanders appointed labor secretary. She wants an outright communist as labor secretary. So, you know, she'll never be satisfied.
Yeah. And the other thing is here with all of this talk of unity by Biden, and we now have his deputy chief of staff, Jan O'Malley Dillon, using expletives against Republicans. She just had this recent interview with Glamour magazine. I sure cannot say what she said, but I'm wondering, okay, Biden's talking unity, but his minions are doing everything they can to put down and to insult and to really come against those that are on the other side of the aisle. This really does not add up, does it?
No, it doesn't. And if you look at when you say minions, I mean, let's the entire news media, the entire social media, and many corporations, surprisingly enough, donated heavily to the Democrats. Even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce supported the reelection of 22 Democrat congresspeople. Here's some money, don't hit us. But if the Democrats prevail in all they want, they're going to turn this country upside down. They want to replace our free market economy with a top-down socialist system. They've said it a million ways.
Yep.
You think we would believe them by now?
Folks, these are the very things we warned, even going into this election. It should come as no surprise now. Let's go to Steve in Cookeville, Tennessee. Steve, you're on the air.
Yes, I'll tell you what, the nominations that you said Biden has put forth, I totally agree with what you're saying. We're in trouble. There's two groups that if we stand up, we can fight this situation. That's Christians and taxpayers. Taxpayers are the employers, the elected are the employees. And if we unify, if we say no more, we want a re-vote, not a recount. We want a paper ballot run through a computer system. Now we have a check and balances. We can correct this greed, corruption, immorality that's hitting us. Mm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Very interesting.
Oh, sure, Steve. Yeah, never give up. You know, that's what Winston Churchill said. Never, 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 never give up.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be in that mindset. And no matter what the media tell us, that if you say you don't give up, then you're threatening democracy. You're trying to destroy democracy. And, you know, the Washington Post, I have to read every day, and every day they're talking about the attacks on democracy by people who are questioning the validity of the vote.
Yeah.
I think it's just the opposite. We
exactly.
want fair elections.
Exactly.
You know, we want it above board.
Let's get into Lawrence, Michigan. Zoltan, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to point out the thing about voter fraud, that the voter fraud, the way it's being presented in the media, is like the shiny object in the room. Well, we got some dead people over here voting, and we had, you know, a couple votes flipped in this county, you know, because of an election worker, blah, blah. And everybody wants to look at that and illegal voters, when the real main event, people don't really look at, and it just goes straight to the core, which is Dominion and Scorecard mm-hmm. and Hammer,
yeah.
that these votes were flipped. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden getting in because people didn't know that he was crooked. People knew he was crooked, or the media certainly covered. And if people want to buy into it, it's plausible that, you know, the vote went the way it went because people had suppressed and they were ignorant and didn't have the information. But it all goes back to Scorecard. It makes no difference what people
Thank you, Zoltan.
At.
I'm up against a break. We'll have our guest come in after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. We have a TV show on our website. It's all about a 25-page report written by a group of Democrats. Many of them we would call neo-Marxist. One is a proud Islamist. The report is called Secular Democrats of America. And the 25-page report reveals what they want to do if Joe Biden does become president. And it includes crushing and destroying traditional Christians in America. Conservative Christians. They refer to them as the religious right or as Christian nationalists. They go on to declare that they want the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice to recognize these white Christian nationalists as a national security threat, as a hate group. And they want them to invest resources to, quote, de-radicalization programs aimed at, end quote, these hate groups. My friends, this is a serious threat. Pay attention.
Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk. The Biden's pick shows what he means by unity, our topic today. And friends, just a reminder, the books that Bob has written are such, they're eye-openers, and he addresses things right on as to where things stand. He's got them. I'm just looking at his website right now. One is at 60% off, another at 50% off. He's got some books there at 70% off. Go to roberthknight.com, roberthknight.com. Click on store. You'll find it there. But to get his email, his weekly email, you can just drop him an email, said, sign me up. Heard you on Crosstalk today, sign me up. That email address, robertknight4, the number 4, robertknight4@gmail.com. So, Bob, we had the caller here before the break, Zoltan, from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, calling in about this Dominion. He said that's where the problem lies, and we're not becoming wise to that issue. It's not just some dead voters, although that is an issue. But it's this Dominion software.
Yeah, he said something I've heard before, which is that it didn't matter how much President Trump won by. If he can flip a switch and change thousands of votes, it doesn't matter that we were misled by a very biased media, by social media censoring people and all that. Well, I think that's still important because what Republicans have had to do in the last few elections is they have to win by enough votes that it frustrates even the attempts at vote fraud. But given these voting machines and the mass numbers of mail-in ballots that are unprecedented and the amount of early voting, did you know 100 million ballots were cast before Election Day out of 156.8 million?
My.
I mean, how do you keep track of them all?
Yeah.
I've said this on your program before, Jim. I worry about the secret vote, the idea of the Australian ballot, which secures self-governance. It's the idea that you go in a voting booth, nobody knows what you're doing, but you, it's secure. When you send out millions of ballots, it's anything but secure.
Right.
As far as these voting machines, yeah, you know, some of these spikes in votes, I can't remember which state it was, whether it was Michigan or Pennsylvania, but it seemed like there was a flood of votes suddenly in the middle of the night that would have exceeded the ability of the machines
right,
in that state
right.
to handle
yep.
them.
Yep.
So obviously it had to be an algorithm switch rather than actual counting.
Let's get to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I just, you know, in listening to these programs, I just have one continuing question that I can't really get solved, and that is this. You know, you made mention about Stephen Colbert, and you made a really good point about, you know, that got a functioning communist media, but that doesn't mean that everybody's communist, and that's true for certain.
Okay, right to your question, Andrew.
But the question is this: all of them are singing the same tune. What individual, and there is somebody who's driving it?
Hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's just an individual. That's an easy answer. That years ago, Joe Sobrin came up with a something called the hive. He said, you know, the leftists are like bees, and they just automatically they pick up the same talking points, and they gravitate toward the same objective, and they're unified. And at the time he was writing this, the Soviet Union was still around, and he said the queen bee is the Soviet Union, Communist Party in the Soviet Union. He said that they don't have to call themselves communists, they don't have to actually send out an order from the top communist. They instinctively know how to go, which is to head toward collectivism, to attack conservatives, Christians. There's a knee-jerk reaction that you see in the media, and it leads to a uniform point of view on virtually any issue. you just don't see any variation in mainstream media anymore.
And if you do, they're released. They're let go, or they're given some assignment that is belittling to them or whatever it may be, but purposefully, in essence, censoring any kind of conservative voice out there.
I can tell you from experience. I worked at the Los Angeles Times and several other newspapers, and they weed out conservatives.
Yeah.
You know, if you're caught not saying something politically correct, there goes your career at that particular entity.
Andrew, thank you for the call. We're going to move on to John in Colorado. You're on the air, John.
Thank you, Jim. If people will not believe what Robert is saying today is true, and I don't know how many of them there are, they need to get hold of Jerry Fraser's book called It Could Happen Tomorrow. And I'll tell you, they will come away with what Robert's saying and what Gary is saying in the book. And believe me, if we're not in the last days, we're right next door.
Right.
Jim, I'll take the answer also.
Thank you. And yes, and he's writing from a biblical prophetic perspective. We've had him on air as well. And you couple that with Robert's books here, like Communist Wave, Liberty on the Brink, and so forth. Indeed. Thank you for that, John. Dwayne in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Well, hi, Jim. I just want to...
Dwayne, please pick up your phone. Your speakerphone is not coming through well at all. Please pick up your phone and talk to us.
Okay. How's that?
Are you on your phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're talking on a speakerphone right now, Dwayne.
No, I'm talking on my regular phone.
Okay, put your mouth right to the mouthpiece and go quickly with your question.
I'm right here.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
That is better.
Okay. On May 3rd, 1975, Catherine Coleman prophesied that there would come an hour when the United States of America would have a president and vice president who was not elected by the people. She went on to explain that you'll know the time has come when we move from out of Syria and Russia and China moves in, which happens a year or so ago.
Tell you what, Dwayne, we're 60 seconds from the end of the program. What is your question?
Do you feel that President Trump should declare martial law and demand new elections?
Okay, thank you.
Boy, that's a pretty, that's a huge question. Right now, no. I think that would just send the country into a panic. I think all legal avenues should be pursued right up to the last minute. And that includes sending those electors to Washington from the several states. And if more evidence and trying to get evidence out into the public realm as fast and as powerfully as possible, you know, I'm still appalled that these courts wouldn't look at the evidence. Mark Levin has explained this on his show, and he's a constitutional scholar. These courts, evidence comes out once a court takes the case. But if they won't even take the case, you can't present your evidence.
We got to leave it right there, folks. Continue to be in prayer for this nation, where things stand right now. And Robert Knight, our guest here today. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Oh, always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me on. God bless.
Sure, and stay on the line here for just a moment if you would. Folks, check out his site, roberthknight.com. Sign up for that email alert as well. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.